Let's read from the Word. Is it a good idea to read from God's Word? Let's read from God's Word. If you have your Bibles or your apps, why don't you turn with me? Ephesians chapter 3. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. All right. Everybody snap your fingers when you got there. Yeah. Cool. Let me read this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. Everybody say power. Be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that all the fullness of God, of the heavens and the galaxies and everything that you have, is accessible to us. We thank you that you said in your word that you will fill us with all your fullness. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do your work this morning. In our hearts, you prepare our hearts like a farmer prepares the soil to receive the word. I pray for every seed that will be sown this morning, every seed of thought, every inspiration, every word that goes forth will not return void. I speak to these seeds that they will bear fruit. And Lord, please hold up the rain because we want to enjoy summer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who loves a good deal? Who got a good deal at Boxing Day? The rest of you stare at them with these eyes going, Although I love a good deal, I avoid Boxing Day sales like the plague. Seriously. I remember many years ago, and I stress, many years ago, we attempted to go out on Boxing Day to look for a sale. This day, and well, the last year as well, we chose to go to the beach. We took a drive out of town, you know, just to go against the flow, because that's what we do. And a few years ago, we went along to, I think it was Sylvia Park, or was it Botany? Someone punched me in the face now. And we attempted to look for a car park. Who knows what I'm talking about when you're looking for a car park in Sylvia Park? Even on a weekday, it's tough, right? So for me, I'm the type of person that if I see the car park being slightly full, even 70% full, I would rather park down the road and walk rather than actually having to hang around. And she would just actually literally, she would drive and she would park right in front of some other cars and she'll just wait. So sometimes I get some coaching from my wife. Any husbands in the house? Is it cool to get coaching from your wife? Not rebuke, but coaching. So when you're parked up, one day my wife was saying, she gets pretty upset because my driving style is a bit different than hers. So I'm parked up there, and then after 5 seconds I move along because I'm like, there's no parks. What am I hanging around for? Whereas she's really patient. And she goes, just wait. So I'm like moving along, and she goes, just stop the car, turn off the car, and just wait. Okay, so I'm being the good husband, I wait. And then you see these people walking along with these bags, right? What do you do when you see people walking into a car park with the bags? You stalk them. You know, you're like a creepy little stalker, you're just like, hoping they don't see you. And then we were stalking this couple, and then we got to the car, and then they opened their van, 7-seater. They put the bags in there, and they took their time, and I'm there, smiling away, going, you know, it didn't take that long to find a car park. And then the guy closes his boot, looks at me, smiles, and then walks back into the mall. I tell you, I just about blew a gasket then. Not in the car, but, you know, having a deal is a good thing, but to me, sometimes you need to count the costs of getting a good deal, because, you know, you get like $5 off a $15 thing. My time's more worth, you know, worth more than $5, don't you think, guys? Yeah. Imagine someone gave you the deal of the century. Someone tells you and says, hey, you know that competition you entered 3 weeks ago? Well, you've been picked by Sylvia Park Mall on the day that they're closed to walk into Sylvia Park, and every single shop in the mall will open just for you. And you've got an hour to run around with a massive trolley and take whatever you want for free. Yeah. Who likes that? Now we got all the hands up in the house. All right. You get a free pass. What would you go for? I know my son saw head straight to the iPad section because Elias came to me about 3 weeks ago. He goes, Dad, I need an iPad for school. Sorry? I need an iPad for school. So my son will go for the iPads. I'll probably go for the iPads as well. And it's a good deal. You can get anything you want. You know, I love it that today's scripture ends with this phrase, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you like the idea of temporary free access to a mall, this is going to blow your mind. Who wants to be filled with all the goodness of God? Hallelujah. You know, this, it's good to understand the context of the scripture, right? Because the Bible was written many, many years ago, and it's like if you read a letter or an email to someone else, and you don't know anything about the author of that email, or you don't know anything about the purpose or the background of that email, it's really easy to misunderstand what that email is all about, right? So, in the Bible, there's this guy called Paul. Long time ago, he was born with a different name called Saul, and he was born in a Jewish family. This guy, he was trained in all the most prestigious schools of how to be a Pharisee, which is a very intelligent Jewish teacher. And before he became a Christian, he went around looking for Christians to kill. This was Saul, who became Paul. So this man spent majority of his life opposing Christians. And one day, Jesus himself appeared to him on his way to a place called Damascus. On his way there, a bright light shone and it blinded him, and a voice spoke to him. And there was the voice of Jesus asking him, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" As a result of that, fast forward the story. This Saul, he was given a new name by God, and he became Paul. And through that encounter with Jesus, that powerful encounter with God himself, he did a 180-degree turn, and he spent the next few years training in the ways of Christianity, and he became the most influential apostle, the most influential Christian leader of his time. And he wrote more than half of the New Testaments. The same person, Paul, after he became a Christian, after he spent some time interning under the apostles and became an apostle himself, he made some journeys, some trips around the area. Because he was a Roman citizen and he lived in the Roman Empire, he began to make trips all around the Roman Empire, speaking to non-Jews, because that's what God told him to do. He went from city to city, essentially planting churches, just like what every nation does globally. He went from city to city, preaching and teaching the word of God. And it's recorded that Paul made three big missionary journeys. And on his third journey, he landed at this place called Ephesus. If you read through the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 17 and 18, 19 and 20. It talks about his time in Ephesus. Now imagine this. Ephesus is actually a port, a seaside town. It's a little bit like Auckland. It's wealthy. It's filled with richness because it's right by the sea. Back in those days, fishing was a big trade. And obviously, because as a port, it has lots of trade coming in and out. So Ephesus was a town that he landed in, and he started to teach. He spent more than 2 years in Ephesus teaching about the way. Before it was called Christianity, it was called the way. He was teaching about the way. And this society, before Christianity came along, its number one religion was the worship of the goddess Artemis. The goddess Artemis, also known for the Greek, known as Artemis, but for the Romans, she was known as the goddess Diana. So this entire society, before Christianity came along, was very much committed to this goddess. A lot of its trade, apart from fishing and so forth, was steelworks, making idols of the goddess Artemis. And you can imagine that a lot of its economy is based on the selling and trading of these idols. And imagine that someone else comes in and tells you that that religion is wrong, that there is only one way, the way, and his name is Jesus. Imagine if God sent you into a society where the entire economy was reliant on the worship of this other goddess, and you're telling them that's wrong. That's the society that he walked into, Ephesus, that many years ago. So Paul wrote many letters to the places where he planted churches. So it wasn't like now where you can send a text or a Snapchat, you know. You actually had to write letters. And so what happened was, he would attempt to visit the places he started churches. Why? Because he wanted to encourage the Christians. Who needs encouragement in your walk? Yeah. So what Paul would do, he would go to a place, plant a church, travel around, go back to a place, encourage them. But you see, what happened was, because he was so influential, that the authorities themselves felt threatened and tried to find any opportunity to capture him and to trip him up, although they had no reason to actually put him in prison. So a lot of these letters, the book of Colossians, the last few months we've been going through the book of Colossians with Pastor Richard, that was written from prison. Or other words, he was actually not in a physical prison, he was in home detention. He was staying at home, and he was guarded by guards because he actually had favor with some of the authorities. They didn't want to put him in the worst prisons. So he wrote the same letter to the church in Ephesus that he planted many years ago from home detention. And he was chained to his house. He was allowed to go in and out when he needed to. But this is a letter that he wrote to the Ephesian church, to a multicultural setting with Greeks and Jews to a wealthy place, to a place that didn't worship Jesus. You know, in this letter, as you read through it from the chapter 1 and 2, you could see introductory comments. But what happens is chapter 3 is essentially the start of the gist of the letter. And essentially, at the very start, what he did was he prayed. He wrote a prayer for the Ephesians, and this was his prayer. So if you think about a prayer that someone prays for you, even before they say anything to you, they pray that prayer over you. Don't you think that that prayer is important? It's almost like a preface to say, actually, if you forget or don't hear anything else I say, this is what's important. Okay? Why would he do that? Why would he pray this prayer over them? I would suggest, maybe, that Paul himself, he lives in and he relies upon this power that is spoken about in that prayer. This power that strengthens us. And today, we're going to talk about that power. What is that power? Everybody say dunamis. Dunamis is actually the base word or the Greek word for dynamite. Who knows that the TNT or the stick of dynamite, you fire up the fuse and then it just explodes, right? Dynamite. The definition of dunamis is inherent power, a power that resides within a thing by virtue of it being that thing. Okay? It's a power that's within a person. It's a power to perform miracles. You see, the Bible talks about dunamis power many, many times. And I want to bring two examples to us. One, which is our text today, and the other one from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, ESV. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, the dunamis power of God. The gospel is the dunamis power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. We need power to believe. Belief isn't just I'll think real hard, I'll read more scripture, I'll listen to more podcasts, I'll go to more church. We need power. We need dunamis. The gospel is why do you think churches focus on the gospel? Because it's the dunamis unto salvation. Because without the dunamis, we're wasting our time. Is that bold? Is that true? The second power that I want to bring to us is the power to live. It says in our text today, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. According to his riches in glory. So that you strengthen in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Did you get that? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How does Christ dwell in your heart? Through that power. If you got no power, you not got no Jesus. Let me read that again. That you be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ. Maybe some of us have a counterfeit Jesus. Maybe we have a Jesus that we've made up. Maybe we have a Jesus, may I be so bold to say, that we've invented that is convenient to us, to what we desire, to our preferences of words, of song, of style. when it's convenient for us. I'm speaking to myself too. I don't feel like being a Christian some days. Oh, the pastor just admitted that. Is it okay to say that in church? My boss is away. Don't tell him. I don't feel like it sometimes. But guess what? It's not about me. It's the dunamis power for salvation. The dunamis power so that Christ will dwell in us through faith. How do you believe in Jesus? It's through faith. But if you have faith without the power, it's just positive thinking. Hello? If you have power and then faith, you'll have an explosion. But if you have power with no faith, you get what I'm saying. Why do we need power? Have you tried so hard at something and felt that you fell short? Have you ever tried to be a good Christian? Have you sinned for the 40th time, the same thing over and over again, and you just like, Have you tried to be part of a small group and feel disconnected? Have you tried to make friends at a church and feel like you're the odd one out? Have you tried to serve God and you feel like a failure? Have you tried to be a good parent and feel like you fail each and every day? I have. Have you ever desired for just a little bit of God's riches? Have you wondered why you're not growing in the Lord? Have you felt that it was difficult to stand up for your faith amongst a very secular society? I have. Well, listen on. You can and you will be filled with all the fullness of Christ. And this is the prayer that Paul prayed over the Ephesian church. It's for our inner being. It's for our heart, our will, our soul, that we be strengthened in that place. Oh, but Weeyong, it's not all about emotions. Yes, emotions play a part in it. Don't be so hard as to think that emotions are weak. God gave it for a reason. The inner place where you know that God exists, that God loves you. When you're weeping, when you don't know why. When God touches you in that place where you feel conviction so deeply that no amount of Bible study can ever get you there. That is the power. We need this power for two reasons, I propose. Number one, we need His power to comprehend and to grasp God's love. You see, that word comprehend in ESV and in NIV, it's called grasp. Everybody do this? Everybody do this? Yeah, don't hit someone. To grasp. The translation of that Greek word, it's called katalambano. All right? Katalambano. It means to lay hold of as to make one's own, to obtain. Imagine that mall again, that you're trying to get all the iPads you can possibly get, and then your trolley's full, and you're holding things, and you're stuffing things into the back of your pockets and your pants, and, you know, you're trying to grasp everything. Even with human subjects, like the vastness of the galaxy, the more you read about the galaxy, if you ever attempted to do that, the more you realize how vast it is and how small and insignificant we are. Hey, Ian. The more you think about certain things, the more you understand, the more you look into it, the more you realize and grasp that. And that's the case with God's love. God's love is different from human love because it's not human in origin. We can't comprehend or grasp katalambano, God's love, with our own strength. It's not just a casual awareness of God's love. It's a deep appreciation of that thing. That's why it talks about power in your inner being, to your very core, that you know that this love is for you. It should overwhelm us. It should blow our mind. It should cause us to realize how horrendous our sin is to God. It should make us realize each and every day as we look more into the depths of God's love, not just in head knowledge, but realization that we are so undeserving of God's love. It should bring a godly sorrow that leads to repentance and leaves no regret. We need power to comprehend God's love, to grasp His love. And I love it when it says that we may have power or strength to comprehend with all the saints. Now, this is not just talking about the saints that are actually on statues. You guys are all considered saints because God qualified you and saved you and exchanged His identity for yours and made you saints. When He says that you will comprehend God's love with all the saints, let me give you a clue. If you want to grasp God's love, you need community. If Alfred was sitting here, he's going to give me a high five, high 20. Connect groups, Sunday church. Stop listening to podcasts in your own room and considering that church. Yeah. I love podcasts, but you need community. You need each other. Yeah, it gets messy. Church gets messy. Who knows that? We offend each other. We send text messages and we misunderstand. Yeah. Amen to that. We send emails. We send frowny faces. Sarah preached about community not so long ago. We need community to grasp along with all the saints. And God's love. I love how it talks about, you know, the Bible is so descriptive. It talks, you know, in places it talks about north, south, east, and west. Here it talks about the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. When I thought about that some more, this is what God gave me. He said, the breadth of God's love, how wide it is. And the NIV talks about how wide. In ESV it says breadth. I believe it talks about the coverage of God's love, the breadth of it. Because the coverage of God's love, in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, it's everyone. For God so loved the... Gosh, you guys are awesome. The breadth of God's love. And then you talk about the length of God's love. Hebrews 13, 5c. Like that, 5c. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The length of God's love. The long-suffering of God's love. No matter how much we disappoint Him, no matter how much we let Him down, He will never leave you nor forsake you. In your deepest and darkest despair, when you don't feel like loving Jesus, the length of His love speaks to you. Even though you don't feel like it, Jesus is still there. He's just around the corner. If you're in a dark room, you can see His shadow. Around the corner. He's there for you, church. The height of His love. Love this passage in Psalm 139, 7 and 8. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Why would you want to flee from God's presence? I guess we feel a bit guilty sometimes. If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is basically hell, or the other name for hell, you are there. You're running away. Oh, Jesus is there. You're running away. He's still there. And the depth of his love, the transformational power of his love that causes metanoia, which is repentance and complete turnaround and a transformation of our minds. The depth of his love is not skin deep. No, no, no. It's a complete change of our nature. So point number one, we need God's love to comprehend and to grasp, to gather in, to make hold, make it ours, to grasp the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love. And once you get that, you want to hold on to it. You want to walk in it. You don't want to ever go back to that dry version of religion. Why would you? Why waste your time? Because Jesus is making all accessible to you and I. Second reason we need that power is to know God's love. Reading about and hearing about and thinking about is different than experiencing and hanging out with and learning from. It's beyond a head knowledge to an experiential love based on our experience of something so real. You see that part in Ephesians 3:19 that says, and to know the love that surpasses understanding. Let's camp on that for a second. To know a love that surpasses understanding. Don't you think that sentence is a little bit contradictory? It just says it surpasses understanding. But let's go back to the original text, and that's going to help us understand what it's actually saying. And to know the love of Christ, that word know is gnosko. Gnosko means to learn to know, to feel, to become known. It speaks of a very deep relationship. In places in the Bible, it talks about a relationship with them between a man and a woman. A wife, sorry. Husband and wife. Have to clarify that in today's society, right? A deep, intimate relationship. Gnosko. And to know, and to gnosko, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That word knowledge is gnosis. That knowledge signifies a general intelligence or an understanding or a general knowledge of something. So to gnosko, this love that surpasses gnosis. I could keep going. Get off the stage and go home. That's so far. What we sometimes think we know about Jesus, about God's love, that's gnosis. We need gnosko. And where does that come from? What's this? The power. God's power. God's dunamis power that will allow us to know. If I were to paraphrase that sentence, I would say it goes like this. To have the experiential, personal knowledge of Christ's love that is so much more than just having a general head knowledge of Christ. And this brings us to our conclusion today. That last sentence, as we started with that last sentence before I'm going to end with that last sentence again. And it goes like this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The power to grasp His love and to know His love will fill us to all of God's fullness. This transformational relationship, an unending source of love, it will compel us to love Him in return, to serve Him in return, and to love what He loves, which is the lost and His bride, the church. So if we feel sometimes that our walk is a bit dry, yeah, it gets that way sometimes. But we need that dunamis power.